Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
It's an honor to have our next guest on the line with us. Get ready for a big-time show. The Music City Sports Collectibles and Autograph Show is this weekend, starting tomorrow and running through Sunday at the Factory at Franklin. It's going to have Pete Rose, Earl Campbell, Bobby Hull, Predator stars Rocco Grimaldi and Victor Arvidsson, and much more. NSYNC stars Joey Fatone, Chris Kirkpatrick will be there, and many more. There are top dealers buying and selling, plus this event features PSA and JSA, the best companies in the country when it comes time to make sure that what you're buying is authorized. You can find out more information. HollywoodCollectibles.com is the website. HollywoodCollectibles.com. Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m., Pete Rose will be signing memorabilia at the Music City Sports Collectibles and Autograph Show. And we welcome the baseball legend Pete Rose on the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. Pete, thanks so much for the time. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. It's a pleasure to be with you, and it's my first time in Nashville in a pretty long period of time on Saturday, so I'm looking forward to a lot of great fans coming out.
Absolutely. It sounds like you're going to have a crowd based on the reaction we've seen on social media. If you could go into a clubhouse today, the Reds clubhouse, for instance, and you started to talk about hitting with a player today, if you just the art of hitting from the Hit King, how many would actually know what you're talking about?
Oh, they think I was crazy. You know, they'd say, what the hell is he talking about? Because the way they play today, and I got a lot of respect for the way they play today, but it just isn't the same as when I played the 60s, 70s, and 80s. I mean, sure, you like to hit home runs, but you also like to get base hits with a man on second, third, and two outs, too. And there's just not everything is about the home run, and all the records have been set this year for teams and for individual players and number of guys over 30 home runs, number of guys over 40 home runs. You got a rookie hit 50 some home runs. So, you know, there's I don't know what I'm watching the game every day, okay? And all I can do is base my opinion on what I'm watching. Now, there's something going on with the baseball, and I don't. And if I'm a player, I'm happy for that because it makes my job easier. But if I'm a pitcher, I'm not happy for that. And I have to believe a guy like Verlander, you know, a couple of weeks ago, a month ago, he said the ball was juiced. He's got the ball 130 times every fourth or fifth day, so he knows how it feels. He knows how it's traveling. And not only the ball is juiced, I believe, and I'm not blaming anybody. You know, when the umpires come out of the tunnel and they throw the ball to the mound for the first pitch, the players don't know what kind of ball they're playing with. They got to go play the game based on the equipment that baseball's supplying them for the game. So, you know, but baseball wants home runs. I think that's the first thing that Rob Manfred said when he took over as commissioner. We need to score more runs. Well, you need to score more runs, yeah, but it's getting ridiculous. And you won't see as many runs scored the next couple weeks because the playoffs are started, as you know. And in the playoffs, what do you have? You have good pitching. And I don't give a damn where you're playing. Good pitching will stop good hitting. Even though last night, I think Tampa Bay, who's not a home run hitting team, they hit three or four home runs against Oakland and won the game 5-1. I mean, it's just, I don't understand it. So I'm like you. I just watch it and root for my favorite team. And my favorite team is like me. It's home watching it.
Pete Rose with us here on the Midday 180. It would be tough for you to explain hitting to a clubhouse today. And from what I understand, it was tough for Ted Williams to explain the way he hit the baseball to you because you were see ball, hit ball, and he was very technical when he tried to explain it to you.
He was. You're absolutely right. And he was very successful. And just like one time I talked to Teddy down in spring training, and he hit my knee, and he hit my hip, and he hit my ribs, and he hit my shoulder. And I put my hands up and said, Mr. Williams, you might have been the greatest hitter ever. But my philosophy is see the ball and hit the ball. And he said, well, kid, it's working for you, so keep going. You know, everybody's got their, yeah, everybody's got their own style. Tony Quinn was more like Ted Williams. You know, Wade Boggs is more like me. Rod Carew was more like me. Hit the ball to all three fields. Hit the ball in the gaps. Get on base. But the most important thing, guys, no matter who you're rooting for or who you're talking about, and I tell this to kids every day because I sign autographs 5 hours a day in Las Vegas, 20 days a month, it's important to concentrate on winning. Everybody's in a better mood when you win. And of all the records I got, and I think I got 26 major league records, the best record I got, I played in 1,972 winning games. That makes me the greatest winner in the history of sports. And that's really a tribute to all the great teams I played on and all the great teammates that I had.
You're talking about the way guys approached it in your generation. Do you think there were guys, maybe they certainly didn't know the terms, but who were actually thinking about launch angle and exit velocity in their own way?
No, I think guys, when I played, you know, you talk about the Astrodome. You're talking about Polo Ground. You're talking about Forbes Field. You know, you're talking about the big ballparks. The ballparks today, that's another thing that no one ever talks about. The ballparks today, they're beautiful, no question about it, but they're jokes. I mean, Houston is like playing in a high school stadium with the dimensions. Yankee Stadium is ridiculous in right field. Camden Yards, you can't pitch. Philadelphia, you can't pitch. Cincinnati, you can't pitch. You know, the new ballpark in Atlanta, the ball flies out of there. They make the ballparks for home runs. You know, I never thought I'd ever get on any show and try to defend pitching. But we in baseball don't do a damn thing for pitchers today. Everything's for the hitter. It's just like everything is for the receiver in football. The defensive backs can't do anything. It's the same way in baseball today. Everything's for the hitter.
Pete Rose with us, HollywoodCollectibles.com, the website to learn how you can purchase a ticket to meet Pete Rose, grab an autograph. Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m., he's going to be signing memorabilia at the Music City Sports Collectibles and Autograph Show.
Pete, you said something that stuck with me right there. You said winning is the ultimate thing, and it's the main thing and the most important thing. That's why it pisses me off when I see Mike Minor and his teammates intentionally drop a fly ball in foul ground so he can get to 200 strikeouts on the year in what is a meaningless game at the end of the season. But what I want to see more than anything is, even if it's a bunch of backups and guys called up from the minors playing, the attempt to get outs and win the game, which was not present there. Does that anger you when you see that type of moment?
Yeah, well, it doesn't anger me. It disappoints me because I don't think if there's people paid to get into a ballpark, no game is you're not playing any game just to play a game. Okay? And that's the integrity of baseball right there, okay? Just purposely dropping that ball. And I don't know if he had a clause in his contract where he got more money if he got 200 strikeouts. I don't know how that worked. But you're right about that. That's really not good for the game of baseball. And I don't care if you're playing for sixth place, you're playing for first place. Your job when you go out to play a baseball game and people pay money to watch the game is to bust your ass for nine innings, if that's what it is, and try to win the game. And if it's 7 innings, try to win the game. If it's 12 innings, you try to win the game. That's your obligation to the uniform you're wearing. It's got a city's name on it. That's your obligation to your teammates. That's your obligation to your front office, is to bust your ass no matter what the situation is in the game. And I've been to games that I'm down 14 runs or 15 runs. That didn't mean I wasn't trying to get a hit if I was in the batter's box. That don't mean I wouldn't try to break up a double play if that's what that's what happened. You know, just play within the rules and play the game hard every night, and people will respect you. People will come out to see you play. And if you don't do what I just said, they won't come out to see you play.
Baseball's hit king Pete Rose with us. Where would you be in baseball if your father had not told you you were going to learn how to switch hit at age 9?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what kind of hitter I'd have been. Cause you know what, guys? I never remember in my life hitting right-handed off a right-hand pitcher. Because I started doing it when I was 9. And I only did it 2 times in the big leagues. went up the bat left-handed off a left-hand pitcher. One was Jim Brewer, because I took his screwball away from him, and one was Randy Jones, who I took the sinker away from him. But they both still got me out. You know, when you're a switch hitter, here's what it does for you. The curveball is always coming into you, and when you strike out, you look good. Okay? Your ass is not leaving home plate and swinging the ball to 15. I've never seen so many swings this year, guys. I don't know about you guys. I've seen so many swings this year that balls have bounced in front of the plate. I mean, I don't think Ray Charles is swinging at these balls. And he didn't have the greatest eyesight. I mean, I don't know what these guys are thinking about. You know, I tell kids every day, it's okay to be a guess hitter. I was not a guess hitter. I looked for a fastball every pitch. You can adjust to the other stuff. The reason guys take so many third strikes, they got two strikes on, they're looking for a curveball. You could throw your fastball by me if I'm looking for a curveball. So if you're going to guess hit to any of the youngsters listening today, guess fastball, adjust to the other stuff, and use the whole damn field. I wish they'd have shifted on me. I'd have 5,000 hits.
Was that the right age? I've got a little guy about to turn 10. He swings lefty, throws righty. But he can swing. He can swing righty a little bit. Is 10 too early to start him as a switch hitter, or is that the right time?
Well, I did it at 9.
Well, you're the greatest hitter of all time, potentially.
Here's some advice, okay? Don't make your kid a switch batter because it sounds good. Okay? There's been a lot of great hitters, left-handed and right-handed, and there's been good switch hitters, okay? But there is an advantage of being a switch batter because the breaking ball is always coming into you. You have nothing going away from you except the screwball. There's probably one or two guys in all the major leagues that actually have a good screwball, and I don't even know who the hell they are. But it is an advantage to be a switch batter. There's no question about it. But make sure when your youngster starts practicing the new way, which would be left-handed in your right-handed in your case, don't forget how to hit the old way. Some guys practice so much the new way, they forget to hit the old way. You look at baseball today. Very few, if any, switch batters will hit 305 left-handed and 295 right-handed.
Yeah.
What the hell is the sense of being a switch batter if you're hitting 307 left-handed and 202 right-handed? What's the point? What's the point? You got to be consistent both sides of the plate. And here's another stat. Okay, I got over 3,000 hits left-handed. Oh, I saw a thing the other day that 18% of Americans are left-handed. So you're going to bat a lot more left-handed in the switch batter than you are right-handed, because there's just a lot more right-hand pitchers.
You said you would have gotten 5,000 hits just against with the shift. Why do people refuse to do the right thing against the shift and lay down a bunt or just slap something to the vacated spot of the field?
Well, because they don't want a single. They'd rather hit a home run. Why won't they walk with bases loaded? They'd rather hit a grand slam. It's all about statistics, guys. It's all about what kind of statistics can I get so I can get a raise next year. It's all about money. The owners have created a situation where you get 20 to 35 home runs, you're going to make 10 to 12 in here. So players are dropping his back shoulder, trying to elevate. You don't need to elevate these ballparks today. Hank Aaron had 755 home runs. They never had any tape major home runs. Line drives go out of the ballpark, too. And when we're talking about your youngster, which we were a minute ago, I'm going to give you some defensive advice. Okay, I don't know if the kid's aggressive or not, but I tell kids this all day, every day when I'm here in Vegas. First thing I tell them is to be aggressive. The next thing I tell them, be more aggressive. And the next thing I tell them, never be satisfied. Okay, what's that mean? If you get a B, you want an A. You get two hits, you want three. You score 12 points, you want 14. You win 10 games, you want to win 11. That's why I got the record for two-hit games, three-hit games, four-hit games, and five-hit games in the major leagues. Because I was never satisfied. If I'm in that batter's box, I don't care what the score is, I'm trying to get a base hit. I'm trying to win a game.
P, Pete, this has been awesome. You are such a passionate guy about baseball and about sports. Have you ever found it difficult to be passionate and love something that seemingly doesn't love you back at times?
No, because I'm not going to blame baseball or get on your show or any other show and whine about me not being in the Hall of Fame, because I'm the one that screwed that up. I'm the one that made a mistake, and I'm able to live with it, okay? Are you asking, would I like to go to Cooperstown? Sure. Every player in her sport wants to reach the ultimate goal. That's Hall of Fame of your sport. But I screwed that up. I'm in the Reds Hall of Fame. I got a statue. I got my number retired. And don't forget, guys, I was born 3 miles from the ballpark in Cincinnati, Ohio. In all those years, our AAA team was Nashville, I think, because Mr. Schmidt owned the ball club. And Joe Bonzo, one of the Oak Ridge boys, was part owner of that Nashville team, too. He was a big Philly fan, though. He used to come in the clubhouse in Philly when I played for the Phillies.
Pete, I believe that you do believe you'll be in Cooperstown, but it'll be when you're dead. Am I right in thinking
that?
That's
okay. I got two sons and four grandsons. They can put a speech together if that ever happens.
Well,
they did the same thing to Ron Santo. Remember, Ron Santo died and they put him in the Hall of Fame. I mean, baseball has to understand, the more walking Hall of Famers you got walking around this country selling the game of baseball, the better off everybody is. Some people forget that sometimes, but it's always a pleasure. I do it all the time. I meet a basketball Hall of Famer. I'm happy to meet the guy. I meet a football Hall of Famer. I meet a tennis Hall of Famer. It's fun to meet those guys. It's good to talk to them. It's good to try to find out what makes them tick, because I can pass that on to my kids. My kid can pass it on to his kids. That's how you learn things, guys, by studying people and hearing from people and understand what people are trying to say.
Well, will you or have you written a letter to read at the Hall of Fame that your sons can do if that time comes?
Man, you guys make me sound like I'm rolling a seven today.
No. I'm just curious, because I know you've thought about this moment.
Wait, the first thing I'm trying to do is get to Nashville and sign autographs.
So you don't plan on doing that?
I think all my sons know how I feel about the Hall of Fame. You got to understand, I come up 63 and played against Stan Musial. Okay, so Stan was the first player I played against that made the Hall of Fame. And that was 68 or 69, 5 years after he retired, and he retired in 63. So I'm pretty much up to speed on all the guys that went into the Hall of Fame the last 40 or 45 years. I played against most of them, and I played with a lot of them. I played with 12 Hall of Fame players. My first Hall of Fame player I played with was Frank Robinson. My last Hall of Fame player I played with was Barry Larkin. And then you got Andre Dawson, Gary Carter, Tim Raines, Steve Carlton, Tom Seaver, Tony Perez, Joe Morgan, Mike Schmidt, Tony Perez. Those are all Hall of Famers, man, and those are all great players and great guys. And there's just something about a Hall of Famer in any sport that just you can just tell when you talk to them.
And you mentioned 1963. You had a tryout with the Reds in 63. And correct me if I'm wrong, but Mickey Mantle gave you the nickname Charlie Hustle at that tryout. Yeah. Is that true?
Well, no, it wasn't a tryout. What it was, because I was invited to spring training as a non-rostered player, because I hit 330 in 62, and I hit 330 in 61 with 30 triples. And it was just like something extra. You're a rookie, a non-rostered player, you get to go to spring training with the rest of the guys. That was great because you got extra meal money. And we had a game. I dressed for the games. We had a game in Fort Lauderdale. And my day is finished, and we had a coach named Mike Reba. And I'm going to go do my running. However, I had to wait for the bus to go back to Tampa from Fort Lauderdale, which is a four-hour drive. And Mike said, stick around, kid. You might get in the game. So all of a sudden, they need a pinch runner. They put me in. The guy got a base hit 5 feet to the left of the left fielder. I went in the third and had first safe. Next guy popped up. Tony Kubek was retreating, and he caught it, and I tagged up and went home and went ahead first, and we won the game 2-1. So, of course, the press is talking to Mickey Mantle, Whitey Ford, after the game, and Mickey said, you see that Charlie Hustle beat us today. And the next day in the New York paper, Charlie Hustle beat Yates.
Nice.
I love that story.
You mentioned how often you do the Vegas autograph signings and how long you sit. How many autographs do you think you sign on an average day?
More than anybody else. First of all, guys.
Are you lucky you only have 8 letters to deal with there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the best autograph in the world is Yaz. Y-A-Z. That's the best autograph in the world. I could do 700 of those an hour. However, Vegas is the only spot where this gig works. And the only reason this gig works, and when I'm talking about gig, that's 20 days a month, 5 hours a day signing autographs. Because every 3 days, thousands leave, thousands come in. Last year, guys, 40 million people visited Las Vegas, Nevada. And what I do, we have a store, Art of Music Store, in MGM, and we have one at the Mirage. We used to have one at the Mandalay Bay. We just try to follow the conventions that come into town. Because convention people come in, they work, they have money, they want to have fun, they want to meet a celebrity.
And that's what you can do this weekend here in Music City, the Music City Sports Collectibles and Autograph Show. It's this weekend, starting tomorrow, running through Sunday at the Factory in Franklin. There are a number plenty of celebrities you can meet there. Pete Rose will be there, Earl Campbell, Bobby Hull. Pick up there, Pete.
Let me explain something else about signing autographs. Vegas is a little different than a car show when I'm going to do this Saturday. Because Vegas, like I said, we're here from 12 to 5:30. And we make it an experience. You sit down, I talk, I do this and I do that. You want me to call your grandpa who's sick? You want me to call your dad who's not feeling well? Your mom who may... You know, I've had 3 or 4 people that had stage 4 cancer and got better and come in and thank me for a phone call. Now, Saturday in Nashville, we'll have so many autographs to sign in such a period of time. I'm still going to take time with people, but I'm not rushing people away from the experience because we want getting an autograph to be an experience.
When you were a kid, did you have an experience like that? Was there a ball player that signed for you or you chased?
Well, here's my youth, okay? Don Zimmer, we lost him 3 or 4 years ago now. When he was alive, I used to tell people that there's one guy in the world who knows more about baseball than me, and it's Don Zimmer. And funny as it sounds, we grew up in the same neighborhood, same Little League fields and coaches, same American Legion coaches and fields, same high school coaches and fields. Our dads were Little League teammates, okay? And I was younger than Don by 4 or 5 years, and I tell people that every Saturday, our dads would take us to River.
Right.
It just, I got a story to tell you, okay? And Don Staley was a big gambler, but he was the nicest guy in the world. And he told me one day, I'm 10 or 11 years old, he said, I had a dream about white hats and black hats and round hats and square hats. And he said he went to work, a guy gave the owner of produce company, a guy gave him a new Cincinnati red hat. And as he did every day, he went to River Downs Racetrack. He owned up to program, and number one is Top Hat. So he bet $1,000 to win on Top Hat, which is a big bet, guys, in 1950. They're going around 2 turns. They're coming down the last jump. A 50-to-1 shot beat Top Hat. And I felt so bad for Dud. I was the same. I said, Dud, who won the race? He said, Sombrero. So the moral of the story is if Don Zimmer had been Spanish, his dad would have won $50,000. As a matter of fact, Mr. Zimmer one time, he wasn't a real good gambler. He bet on a duck one time, and the damn thing drowned. That's a bad gambler right there.
But
he's a hell of a guy.
Pete Rose has been our guest. This has been a real treat for us, Pete. I hope you know that. And it'll be a treat for people in Nashville to come out and see you on Saturday.
Thanks so much.
Well, I appreciate you guys plugging the show. And, come out to Vegas, stop in and say hi. And we'll make your appearance an enjoyable one. Now I sound like Joel Osteen.
You have the private jet like him, Pete?
Yeah, I wish I did.
Yeah.
I got a Rolls Royce. That's as private as I can.
That works.
Thanks, Pete.
We'll see all the great people of Nashville on Saturday. Looking forward to it. And thanks again for giving me 10 minutes on your show.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pete. Pete Rose.
All right, buddy. Have a good day, guys.
Yeah, you too. He gave us 23 minutes,
how
actually.
About that? Yeah, 10 to him, 23 to us. Well, who's counting?
Terrific.
Who's counting?
HollywoodCollectibles.com, the website, for more information on the Music City Sports Collectibles and Autograph Show.
He could do 700 Yaz autographs in an hour.